Let's go ahead and open in prayer. We're going to begin. We're going to continue our study on 2 Corinthians today. This is our final lesson on 2 Corinthians, and so we definitely want to finish it off with the blessing of the Lord. The lesson today is called Strength and Weakness. Strength and weakness. And believe it or not, in many ways, especially in the world that we live in, we're raised to believe that strength is the way to be used more or to be more powerful or to have more influence in the world. And it does seem to be that way. However, in the kingdom of God, it's entirely different than the ways of the world. In the kingdom of God, we actually are made weaker so that God can be stronger in our lives. When we're strong in ourselves, we don't depend on the Lord like we should. But when we are weak, we know we are dependent on God. And so today's lesson is exactly about that, strength and weakness. So let's go ahead and open in prayer, and then we will begin. Father, we thank you so much for this day that you have given to us. We thank you for the privilege that it is to be gathered together in your name. We ask, Lord, that you would bless the teaching of your word, that you would give us understanding through the power of the Holy Spirit, insight, Lord, into what you would want us to learn and understand through the life of the Apostle Paul, and more specifically of how, Lord God, we in our weakness are made strong. I pray that you would help us to see how this contradictory message, Lord, it contradicts the message of the world, how it applies to us, and help us to be a people that will be dependent on you every day. And so bless our teaching time today. We ask for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen and amen. Strength in weakness. Strength in weakness. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And as you turn there, our lesson, as I mentioned before, is called Strength in Weakness. But let's look at what our central truth is. It is this: Christ makes the weak strong in him. Now, like I said before, initially that thought might seem contradictory, that Christ makes the weak strong in him. We don't need to make ourselves weak. I want you to understand that. That doesn't mean we have to all of a sudden just go and fast every day to where we can't get up and get out of bed and we're so weak we can't do anything. That's not what God is wanting us to do. Now, I'm not demeaning fasting and praying and humbling ourselves before God. We need to seek the face of God, and we need to seek Him with all of our heart. Sometimes it comes to the point where we have to deny ourselves the pleasure of food for a season so that we can draw near to God in prayer. However, we don't need to make ourselves weak, but in our weakness, Christ will be made strong. Now, there are times that God will use us in our weaknesses. What do you mean, Pastor James? It's amazing that sometimes the ones that get up and preach are the ones that were the shyest people when they were younger. Do you hear what I'm saying? Sometimes God can take a shy nobody and turn them into a mouthpiece for His glory. And the reason why that happens is this. The person that normally would not be in front of people and yet is placed in front of people is dependent on the Lord for his strength to be there. And so that individual is quick to know it's not me, but it is the Lord working through me. I am weak, but he is strong. Amen. Amen. That's what the Lord does. It's amazing that sometimes the Lord will cast us. I remember one time hearing a message called being cast out of your comfortableness. How the Lord will sometimes take us out of the place of our strength and he uses us in the place of our weakness. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. You don't have to try to make yourself weak. God will bring us to the place of weakness in a way that will glorify him. Amen. And so that's what I'm trying to get across today. But Christ makes the weak strong in him. Our text today is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. And I want you to see this verse because it's a powerful one. This is the Apostle Paul speaking as the Lord spoke to him at a pretty hard time in his life. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Does anybody there want to read that? 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. Amen. Think about what Paul is saying here. The Lord spoke to Paul, and he said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will boast in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now, I don't want to get too much into this, because we'll get into it more a little bit later. But let me say this. In this point of Paul's life and ministry, he had become weak. Now, it doesn't mean that he had weakened himself, but he had been through quite a bit. They say that Paul, during this point of his life, would walk around with a limp. He was a short man. They say he was short of stature. But he would walk, kind of bent over, limping a little bit, walking to the place of meeting, wherever he would minister the word. You can read in the Corinthian letters that sometimes when he would speak, he didn't even speak with eloquence. Sometimes we think Paul must have been the most eloquent preacher in the Bible times, but he wasn't. One time he said, "I'm rude of speech." But a lot of the reason why Paul walked with the limp, and the reason why Paul sometimes spoke in a rude way or a very hard way, not hard as in tough, but hard to understand sometimes, was because of the many things he went through for Christ. And we'll talk about that later. Paul was weak. His body was broken in a way that all the whippings, the stonings, the things that he experienced for the gospel had begun to affect his physical body. And he was weak. And so Paul knew how weak he was. And then to top it all off, after he had received many visions from the Lord, had seen things that were even unlawful to speak, meaning that it's not even really allowed to share these things. It was some things that God allowed him to see, but he wasn't in freedom to share it. And in the abundance of those revelations, God gave to him a thorn in the flesh. And the thorn that Paul experienced in the flesh, which we don't know anything of, was something that affected him so much that he felt extremely weak. He prayed three times to the Lord, "Lord, take this thorn away, take it away." And God said to him this response here in verse 9. He says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." There are some times that we will experience things in our Christian walk with the Lord that we feel totally weak, where we feel like we can't go on another step. And it's in our weakness that God will give us the strength to go on. Let me illustrate this with a story. Carter Conlon, Pastor Carter is the senior pastor of Times Square Church in New York City. David Wilkerson, led by the Spirit, called him to come minister the gospel there in Times Square Church. This is in New York City. He came and would eventually become a part of the pastoral staff under David Wilkerson for years before David Wilkerson would pass. But there was a season that Pastor Carter went through a time of extreme weakness. He was at his house, and all of a sudden he would feel really lethargic, very weak in his body. And he didn't know why he was getting so weak, and he was developing this cough. And he didn't know what was going on, and it just seemed like he was getting weaker and weaker. And one day David Wilkerson, I believe by the Spirit, sent some people, "Go, let's find out if there's something in the house." And so they went in and they began to take off some of the drywall. They went up into the roof and found black mold there on the roof. And that black mold is toxic. And so this mold was beginning to ravage and wreak havoc in his body, and it was weakening him. And I remember him at that point in that season, he would be sometimes just struggling to get up and to minister the gospel, but he didn't let the weakness stop him. And he would get up sometimes and you would hear him preach a message. He'd be jumping, he'd be yelling, and you would think that this man was the strongest man in existence. Christ was being strong in him, and then he would leave the pulpit and just be so weak. He was even afraid for a season there that he would probably end up passing away because of how bad this thing began to affect him. It was for a season, and then, not only that, one day they moved to another apartment. They got out of that other area as they were fixing it up, and they sold the house, got rid of it. He ended up going to an apartment, and then all the symptoms began to return. And they said, "What's going on?" And they looked, and lo and behold, they found more black mold in that place too. This man was weak. God used him to minister in Africa and other places. And yet, we may wonder sometimes, God, why would you allow that? Listen to me. Why would God allow this to happen to a man of God like this? I encourage you to go online, tscnyc.org or tsc.nyc if you want to check it out online. Awesome man of God. Beautiful testimony. So you can listen to what I'm talking about. He's a man of God. Why would God allow such weakness into his servant? Sometimes we may ask, God, why do you allow me to go through this? Well, I don't know what you're going through, but you may feel very weak. But God wants to raise you up and wants to use your life as a testimony of his strength. Amen? Charles Haddon Spurgeon was known as the Prince of Preachers. He was a preacher of preachers. And he would get up to minister the gospel back in the Metropolitan Tabernacle. And he would get up, and they say before he would go to the pulpit, he would get sick. He would get sick with anxiety and nerves and everything to minister. Before he would go to the pulpit, he'd run into the bathroom, he'd end up vomiting. Because he was just sick. And then he'd get up all weak as he was behind the pulpit and preach. And there is, I mean, if you know anything of church history or of Charles Spurgeon, man, that was a man of God. But God would use him in his weakness. And when a person is weak like that, and then God is empowering them, God is using them, filling their mouths to minister the gospel, they know that they know it's not them. And so they turn and give all the glory to God. Amen? Strength and weakness. Strength and weakness. Paul was a man of God. He would be used of the Lord to write more than half of the New Testament. He was used mightily among the Gentiles. He was allowed to see Christ after the resurrection, after his ascension. He said, "I was considered the least of the apostles, one born out of due time," and yet God revealed himself to him in a very extreme, powerful way. And Paul would not be able to minister in his own strength. God would allow weakness to come into his life so that he would never be able to boast in his own strength, but only boast in the power of God. Strength and weakness. Now this, like I said earlier, is contradictory to the message of the world. We're raised to push everybody aside, knock anybody down to get to the top. We're taught to be very strong. And yet the message from Scripture is contradictory to that. Jesus said, if you want to be mighty or whatever, he said, you must be the servant of all. It's contradictory than the message of the world. But it's a beautiful place when the Lord begins to do what only he could do. Now, Paul had been experiencing a situation there in Corinth, getting back to 2 Corinthians. He had opposition in the church in Corinth. He had founded the church, started the church by the Holy Spirit. But there in Corinth, some of these false teachers and false ministers began to mislead the people. And some of them were even putting down Paul and saying, "Look at him, he's weak, he's not able to preach like others. He supposedly doesn't have the credentials that we have." And so Paul would have to begin to show them how these false teachers were misrepresenting Christ and, to be honest with you, the gospel. And so Paul now begins to go into an arena that he really would not want to go in, but he will, for the sake of proving that not only is he called of God to be who he was, he would show them that he has the credentials to be the apostle to the Gentiles that he was. And so let's get into our message today, but before we do, let me ask you this. Spiritually speaking, now listen to me, spiritually speaking, who's the strongest person you know? Who would you consider to be the strongest person you know? Think about it in your minds. Who's the strongest person you know? I know when I was a kid, I always thought my dad was the strongest. I don't know about you, but I know my dad, man, he would do things that I was like amazed at. Every one time when we were small, he'd say, "Let's race." And I remember we'd be running all hard and he'd be walking. And he'd still win us in a race. It was funny, you know, just messing with us. Of course, he was older and we were little kids. But boy, I always saw him as the strongest, you know. But sometimes as we think in our minds, we can sometimes automatically think, well, someone like an Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime was strong, or someone like a Lou Ferrigno. You all remember the old Incredible Hulk back in the day? I remember we were impressed with him, man. He'd be all green, and with his muscles, we'd be like, wow. And so we think strength is that way, but in the kingdom of God, it's different. It's totally different. And if we were to have been there to have seen Paul with our own eyes, we would have thought, wow, he seems like such a weak man. But he was, although weak in the flesh, strong in the spirit. And that's why God used him so powerfully. As followers of Christ, what should we take pride in and boast of? What should we be taking pride in and boasting of? Now, Paul is going to begin to foolishly begin to boast. Now, he even says it himself, but he's doing it because around him, these false teachers are boasting on who they are. They're telling those Corinthians, look at me and look at all that I've done. And so Paul normally would never go and try to prove to anybody all that has been accomplished through him, all that has been done through him. He would only boast in the Lord. Amen? But as followers of Christ, what should we be taking pride in and boasting of? Should we be boasting in our own strength? No, we really shouldn't. Now, in the world, we might. We begin to work out and get some, building some muscles. We'll begin to wear muscle shirts and show off, right? Right, guys? Hey, I did it too, man. There was a time I was working out, man. I was trying to lose weight, and instead of losing weight, I was gaining weight. It was all muscle weight. I was like, gee. Anyways, that's beside the point. But then there comes a pride in us that we want to show it off, isn't it? I mean, it's there. It's in man and it's also in woman. But in the world, we take pride in those things. But in the kingdom of God, it's different. We don't boast in how strong we are. We learn to boast in the things of God. We learn to take attention away from ourselves and draw attention to Christ. Amen? Think about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't talk of himself, but he will lift up the name of Jesus. He draws attention to Jesus, and you as a child of God will do the same as we grow in the Lord. Sometimes when we're first saved, we might still have a little bit of our pride and we might boast of things, but as God begins to draw us closer to himself, we will begin to steer clear away from boasting in our own strengths and turn to Christ. Amen? And so let's look at this now. Suffering for Christ. Let's get into the lesson today. Come on, let's see if this... Oh. Okay. Suffering for Christ. First, foolishness for foolishness. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 11, verse 16. And we're going to read verses 16 through 21. And I want to begin to get into the mindset of Paul here. Remember, 1 Corinthians... was Paul dealing with issues in the Corinthian church? There was a lot of problems in the Corinthian church, so Paul dealt with them, and he dealt with a lot of them in 1 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, you see how the Corinthians took his words, And there was a man that was doing extreme wrong that not even the Gentiles did. And they corrected him, and now he says, go ahead and forgive him. If you forgive him, I forgive him. And God forgives him, and so on and so forth. 2 Corinthians is the most autobiographical of Paul's letters. This is the letter that Paul talks about himself quite a bit. But the reason why was because there were people undermining Paul, and so Paul is proving to the Corinthians who he is. First of all, called of God, not of himself. But now look at what Paul's going to do in verses 16 through 21. Just listen to Paul, and I'll begin to read. It says this. I say again, let no one think that I am a fool. Otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, so that I also may boast a little. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast. For you tolerate fools gladly, seeing you yourselves are wise. For you permit it if a man brings you into bondage, if a man devours you, if a man takes from you, if a man exalts himself, or if a man strikes you on the face. I say to my reproach that we were too weak for that. And so Paul is going to address some issues. These false teachers in that day, undermining Paul's message there in Corinth, were boasting of themselves. They were saying, look at us, and look at all that has been accomplished through us in our ministry. And so Paul begins to tell them, don't look at me as a fool. Don't look at me as someone that cannot boast as well, just like they are. Don't misunderstand how I've carried myself among you. Paul was not even receiving finances of the Corinthians. He would take finances from other churches, but he didn't want to be a burden to the Corinthians, and they even were beginning to talk against that. And so Paul says, don't look at me as a fool. Don't receive me as a fool so that I also may boast a little. He's saying, look, don't look down on me. If they're going to boast, then allow me to boast a little. If they can boast, well, let me do some boasting too. And he says, I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were, foolishly in this confidence of boasting. He says clearly, God doesn't want me to boast. What I'm about to do in boasting to you is not of the Lord. That means God doesn't want us to boast. But Paul, in dealing with the boasting of others, is now going to rebuke those that are boasting through his own boasting. He's going to show them, before they think that they are something special, let me show you who I am then, in the Lord. He's not trying to bring a lot of attention on himself, but he wants to show them the calling and the power and how God has used his life so that he can bring their mentality to understand who Paul is. And in understanding how God has called Paul to be who he is, for them to understand the others that are boasting all around them. He says, look at what you do. He says, this is going to be foolish in boasting, but he says that since many boast according to the flesh, then I will boast as well, for you tolerate fools gladly. He says, you're allowing them to just run all over you. You're allowing them to manipulate you. It says, you tolerate fools gladly, seeing you yourselves are wise. He's saying, and he's kind of playing with them a little bit. You think you're so wise, and yet you tolerate these fools. He's calling them fools, isn't he? He says, you permit it if a man brings you into bondage through their doctrine, their messages. If a man devours you, or if a man takes from you, if a man exalts himself, or if a man strikes you on the face, you're tolerating it all. And why are you tolerating it? Do you think that they are spiritual? Do you think that they're allowed to do that? Then he says, I say to my reproach that we were too weak for that. In other words, Paul wouldn't boast. But now he's going to go and do something that he would normally not do, but for the sake of them to see the contrast. He wants them to understand how a true man or woman of God should be. Amen. A true man or true woman of God will never boast on their own strength or their own workings or of their own power. They will boast on Christ and Christ alone, just as Paul had done. But now, for the sake of showing them the power of God in his life, he is going to bring his opposition to the point of where they really are and show them the truth about how a man or woman of God should be. Now, he's a little sarcastic in it. Paul is kind of playing with them a little bit here. But he is actually going to confront these Corinthians with their own foolishness to show them what is happening all around them through these false teachers. He rebukes them, and he rebukes them by showing his own weakness. Let's move forward here. Paul begins to show them all of his weaknesses, okay? And let's look at this. 2 Corinthians 22 through 33. Listen to this list. Listen to all that Paul had been through. And I want you to think, as we go through this list, to think about those prosperity preachers that make it seem like you should be sitting in mansions to be glorifying God and not experiencing suffering. Listen to what I just said. There are some ministers that make it seem like if you're suffering for Christ and you're going through troubles or tribulation, then you must not be a true man or woman of God. But I want you to think about that thought in light of what Paul is about to express here in a moment. Chapter 11, verses 22 through 33, listen to this. He says, are they Hebrews? So am I. He says, are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I. Now, think about this. As Paul is bringing out this boasting of who he is, he's saying the same thing these boasters are saying. Some of them are saying, well, we're Jewish, so we deserve to be used of God. And so Paul begins to show them, I am too. Amen? Look at what he says. Again, are they Hebrew? So am I. Are they Israelite? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Verse 23 of chapter 11. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as a fool. You know, he's not really going to be boasting, but he's saying, look, this is foolish of me, but I'm going to keep on going. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. When it talks about stripes here, it's talking about whippings that he's received for the preaching of the gospel. Amen? In stripes more. In stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. 5 times, he said, I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 5 times! Can you imagine that? That's 296 whippings in different occasions, right? 40 lashes minus one, that's 39 lashes. And when they would whip them, they would whip them with whips that were not just like feathers. You know what I mean? Sometimes some of those whips, the cat of nine tails, they called some of those whips, they had a metal hook at the end. And when they would whip that skin, it would literally, when they'd pull back, would pull flesh. So Paul was walking around with scars all over his body. 5 times. He received those 39 lashes. So his body was not shiny and all cut. And I mean, I'm talking about like a person that works out kind of body, right? It was tore up. He had scars everywhere. And so look at his boasting. Are they Jewish? Are they Hebrew? Are they Israelite? Are they of the seed of Abraham? Are they servants of Christ? Well, let me show you, even as I speak as a fool, I'm even more of a servant than they are. And he begins to show all that he had been through for the gospel. Verse 25 says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Now that's over and above the 5 times of 39 lashes. Man, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. And you know when those Jews stone someone, They meant to kill them and leave them dead. When Paul was preaching the gospel in Lystra, it's called, they were so mad at him, they took him out of the city and they stoned him and thought he was dead. Then his companions stood around him. Many believe they prayed for him, and he got up and walked away and went to the next city and preached the gospel. And if you think about stoning, and if you're meaning to kill someone with a stone or a rock, I mean, over here in the Rockies, we got some big rocks. You got to picture these big, huge boulders being thrown at him to hurt and cripple his body. So not only has he been whipped and beaten with rods, he was stoned. 3 times, he said, I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Many believe he was stranded, probably floating on the rubble of a shipwreck for a night and a day there in the open waters. All of this for the gospel. He says, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brothers, in weariness and painfulness, in sleeplessness often. Wow, anybody struggling with insomnia? Even Paul went through it. In sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, and in cold and nakedness. Beside the external things, verse 28, the care of all the churches pressures me daily. Who is weak that I am not weak? Who is led into sin that I am not distressed? If I must boast, I will boast of the things which concern my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas secured the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desiring to arrest me. But I was let down by a wall through a window in a basket and escaped his hands. This was a servant of the Lord. And he was saying, if they want to boast about what they've been through, well, let me tell you what I have gone through. If they can boast, well, let me boast a little. This is not of the Lord, but let me show you the call and the grace of God in my life. And he begins to show them, and again, it even helps to explain his weakness of appearance. You know, they say that Paul, church historians say that Paul actually had one of those unibrows. You guys know what a unibrow is, right? One big eyebrow, right? There's no space in the middle. And so they say he was like that. He was short of stature, but that he walked with a limp, kind of a little almost hunchback in a way. But it was the result of the many things he had been through. And when he would minister the gospel, he didn't minister it. Listen to me. He didn't minister it with eloquence so that people can say, wow, I was convinced by his eloquence. He ministered the gospel by the power of God. And when he ministered the gospel, the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit was so strong upon Paul that they knew the gospel was real by the evidence, God confirming his word with signs following. Amen. And so he may have been weak, but he was actually weak because God made him weak. And he could only boast on the power of God. And in him boasting just a little, he was actually showing how much he was not revealing to them. Isn't that a good thing? Think about it. We don't need to boast on all that has been accomplished through our lives. Amen? Sometimes we think we have to have letters of commendation. We need to prove ourselves. Even sometimes ministers try to measure themselves against themselves. Amen? Sometimes preachers in the Assemblies of God, the Baptist, I don't care what denomination it is, that minister thinks, well, I've got to prove to that one all that has been accomplished in my life. We don't need to do that. Remember, Jesus said it this way. He says, if you're invited to a feast, don't go and try to take the high place and sit among those that are in the higher echelons of power or the biggest people that are respected there in the dinner. Don't go there. Just go take the low seat. Remember he said that? You take the low seat. You don't need to boast on who you are. You don't need to prove anything about who you are. Let God lift you up. Amen? And he says, so if you go to that feast, you take the low seat. And then the one that invited you will come and bring you to that place. and then you'll receive praise of those that are sitting all around you. Amen? Let God exalt you. Let God put you in position. Let God put you there. You don't have to try to put yourself there. Amen? Some of these false teachers had questioned Paul. They had said that Paul maybe wasn't even Jewish, but he begins to show that he's Jewish. He begins to show all that he was in boasting just a little. And he said, this is foolishness. I shouldn't even have to do this, but you've made me. You tolerate these fools gladly, but let me remind you of who I am so that you can know that I'm a true man of God. And he does it with reason. Amen. Now, Paul begins to show them even visions and revelations, boasting in weakness, but visions and revelations. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. Visions and revelations. And I believe, listen to what I'm about to tell you, that God can still do this with men and women of God even today. I don't believe it stopped with the apostles. I don't believe it stopped with Paul here. I'm not a cessationist. I believe God can still do the same. But those that receive this will not be boasting about it. But listen to Paul here, chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. Doubtless, it is not profitable for me to boast. So I will move on to visions and revelations of the Lord. Verse 2, I knew a man in Christ over 14 years ago. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I knew that such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words not permitted for a man to say. Of such a person I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my weaknesses. For if I desire to boast, I will not be a fool. I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But now I resist, lest anyone should think of me above that which he sees me to be or hears from me. Paul begins to go into the arena of revelation. Things that God had allowed to be seen in the Spirit. Visions and revelations. And a man or a woman of God, as they draw near to God and sincerely walk hand in hand with the Master, as they grow in the Lord and are seeking the face of God for Him to use them, God will begin to reveal Himself to them in profound ways. Amen. Amen. And as we grow in the Lord, God will at times open up the Word and give us revelation. Amen. But He can even go beyond that, where He will allow us to have visions and see in the Spirit things that can only be explained by the Spirit, to be honest with you. And so Paul begins to kind of talk in the third person. He begins to talk about someone else, but he's really talking about himself. He's trying as hard as he can not to boast on himself. He doesn't want people to look at him too highly. You see, he's still flesh. He's still a man. He's not superhuman. Amen? And so he is trying to get some of the attention off himself, paint a picture of supposedly someone else, but it's really himself. And what he began to see was he was taken up into heaven, the third heaven. And this is talking about the third heaven. When we look up into the sky right now, we see what is called our atmosphere, right? At night, you see outside the atmosphere into the starry heavens. Amen? So the first heaven is the atmosphere, the stars and the planets and all that, the universe, the galaxies, that's in the second heaven. The third heaven is heaven itself, where God is. Amen. And what Paul is saying, I was taken up and I saw things that I can't even express. I'll bet if you or me were taken there, we wouldn't be able to explain it. You would have been just like John and said there were streets of gold. There were gates of pearl. But to be honest with you, it's even beyond words. John was trying with human words to explain what is inexplainable. Gold is a precious stone, isn't it? Gold is that mineral that is so precious. And so we know how valuable it is and how precious it is. But those are only human words that can just try to get us close to the reality of what heaven really is like. So when he says it's inexpressible, he saw things that limited language, words of humanity cannot express. One day you're going to see it, and then we'll understand. Amen? But he says it's inexpressible. He even said it's not even lawful, or it's not even permitted for a man to say. To be honest with you, try as he may, he wouldn't be able to fully explain the beauty of what he saw. And what he is saying here is that God had chosen to give this revelation to Paul. Paul, in other letters that he wrote, saw Jesus with his eyes. He was given the message of the cross, or he was given an understanding of the mystery of the gospel. He understood the reality by revelation, the new covenant, which was ushered in through Christ Jesus. And God would use Paul to write down this mystery in the gospels, the letters that we have. Amen. Romans, his most powerful work. And so Paul is showing them all that God had done. And he even says, of such a person I will boast, yet not of myself, except in my weaknesses. For if I desire to boast, he said, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But now I resist, lest anyone should think of me above that which he sees me to be or hears from me. When God begins to show himself to us and makes revelation and gives us revelation, it's not for us to go in a boastful way and try to pick ourselves or lift ourselves up above the rest. Did you hear that? A true man or woman of God will remain humble. They will not touch the glory. They will not intimidate. Amen? Now, I'm not saying that the touch of God in a person's life will bring fear into some others. Listen to me. The president of the Bible school that I was a part of, she had the touch of God on her. And I remember the first time I saw her. It was a prayer meeting, a Wednesday night, and I remember that woman walked into the chapel, and I hadn't seen her, hadn't met her yet. I knew her name was Catherine, that's about it. And I remember when she walked into that chapel, and I saw her walk in, there was not a fear, but a fear gripped me. The touch of God was so strong on her that there was this awe. And I remember she walked to the front, and I remember I was thinking, man, she can probably read my mind. She couldn't. It's a misconception on our part. They're not superhuman. But God will anoint his servants in such a way to put the fear of God on you about them sometimes. Amen? Amen. David Wilkerson was a man like that. I don't know how many people, even Carter Condon, like I mentioned before, the senior pastor of Times Square Church, you would go and sit in the presence of David Wilkerson and he'd begin to talk to you and he had those blue eyes. And they said it was just felt like if he was looking right through you. He couldn't. But the touch of God on a man or woman of God is very real. Amen? And so I'm not talking about that won't happen, but because it does happen. Thank God for that. Amen? But on the other hand, we must understand that God will give revelation and God will give us visions so that we can understand more of who he is, but it's never for us to go to intimidate or to look down on others. That is not the heart of God at all. Amen? Jesus was approachable. Amen? When those little kids came to be blessed of Jesus, I'm sure they were running around and being kids. I'm sure they were loud. And I'm sure he was telling his disciples, hey, can you shut them up? I'm sure he smiled at them when they were all gathered around on the mountainside and he was preaching to thousands. I'm sure he saw those little kids running around, some of them with their little cloth pampers. They didn't have pampers then. Little cloth diapers, right? And I'm sure he probably smiled at them. He saw those young toddlers tripping over themselves. I'm sure he smiled and probably even chuckled. Amen? I'm sure he saw some of the bigger ones being little kids, some of them falling asleep underneath the pews, and I'm sure he was smiling right at them. Amen? He wasn't pinching them. He was letting them sleep in the presence of God. Amen? I'm sure he saw some of those teenagers. Amen? Some of them looking at their parents with a dirty look. Amen? And he probably said and smiled right at them. You know, the plans that I have for him and her. He saw the young adults and the young families. He saw the elderly. He saw the middle-aged. He saw them all. And they could approach Jesus. Amen? Remember the disciples one day tried to stop the mothers from bringing their kids to be blessed. And he said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me. And forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." He's approachable. And I believe that a true man or woman of God, I don't care how they are used of God. I don't care to what extent they've preached the gospel. I don't care how many souls have been won. How the Holy Spirit has moved through them. Miracles have taken place. I believe a true man or woman of God will be approachable. Amen. And they've got to be careful lest they begin to get big-headed and think they're above everybody else. We've got to be small in God's presence. Amen? Weakness. This is what he's talking about, being weak. Again, it's not making yourself weak. It's a weakness that God will bring. It's a humility. It's a humbling. It's a place of being small so that he's big. Amen? Praise the Lord. And that's what Paul, he's showing, look, I could be boasting all this, and you've made me be a fool. But he never did it before, because he wasn't about who he is and what's been accomplished. It's all about Jesus. And so he's reminding them of who he is, and so that they can get back to the place of respect. Amen? And really realizing who Paul is. Now, sufficient grace. Verses 7 through 10, let's read these verses. It says this. Now think about the visions that he's seen and such. And he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure in his pride and in what has been happening, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations." That means he had a lot more. I mean, here he just mentions being caught up into paradise and hearing these inexpressible words. But of the abundance of revelations, we don't know what else Paul experience. But he says, "A thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, lest I be exalted above measure. I asked the Lord 3 times that this thing might depart from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.' Therefore, most gladly I will boast in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So I take pleasure in weaknesses, in reproaches, in hardships, in persecutions, and in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is contrary to the popular prosperity message we hear a lot of. It is. But God wants us to understand that in our weakness, he is strong. Amen. And he is the one that will receive all the praise and the glory for what he does through our life and through our ministry, no matter where we are and who we minister to. He was weak, and he says, "I will take pleasure in weaknesses, in reproaches, hardships, persecutions, distresses." Can you imagine what he's saying here? There's another verse that says it's through much suffering that we will enter the kingdom of God. And yet, that seems to be a message unheard anymore. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to be all for pain and suffering. Does anybody want to be in pain and in suffering? You know what I mean? It's not like we look forward to it. But when we are in it, we don't go and say, "Oh no, I'm cursed of God." No! You are not cursed of God. You're his child. And he wants to show himself strong in and through you. He wants to receive glory and praise through you, that you will be praising the Lord anyhow. "I'm not going to let these burdens bring me down." Amen? Hallelujah anyhow. "I'm going to just praise the Lord. I am going through a lot. I am suffering. I am getting weaker. But praise the Lord anyhow." He deserves praise. He deserves worship. And it doesn't matter how weak or what we are going through, He still deserves our praises. Amen? So thank God in the midst of your trial. Thank God in the midst of your weakness. Say thank you to the Lord. Amen? He's good and He is faithful. And He is not in any way going to ever hurt or do anything that will be against you in a wrong way. What do you mean, Pastor? The scripture says all things work together for the good. Those that are called of God, amen? All things work together for good. Sometimes we are going through situations and we can say, Lord, how can this work for good? But God can turn it around for it to work for good. Amen? What the enemy has meant for evil, God will turn it around for good. Lord, I just got in a big fight with my wife. Can you use that? Yes. Yes. He's making a testimony. Amen? I don't know a husband or a wife who has not gone into a fight. Amen? I don't mean to be looking at all the married, but... But God is developing a relationship. Amen? And it's going to go and experience trial, but it's to strengthen the marriage. It's not meant to destroy it. But you need to communicate, you need to talk, you need to be real, you know, all these things. Amen? And one time, what's his name? David? No, that's not David Davis. Ken Davis. Anybody heard Ken Davis on the radio? He's one of those Christian comedians. Search him online later on or YouTube. Ken Davis. He's a funny guy. Anyways, he was talking about sometimes the troubles and tribulations married couples can face. And he was saying that all of a sudden this elderly man came and kind of rebuked him. And he said, I'll have you know, sir, that I've been married to my wife for 40 years and we have never once had a fight. And he says, really? He says, we've never even said a hard word to one another. And he says, really? He says, yeah, we have never fought and we're happily married. And he said, where are you from? You must be from another planet. You really can't have a relationship when sometimes that relationship is troubled. How many of you had a best friend when you were younger? And just something caused us to get into an argument. You ever had a friend and you get in an argument? Sometimes it's over a petty thing. But that's how relationships are developed and grown, for you to understand each other and learn how to give and take. Amen? Give room for them to be who they are in their individuality and you too. Amen? That's how relationships are. It's life. Amen. Oh. Boasting in weakness. Listen to this. As we think about Paul and his, all that had been he had been going through and then him boasting in his weaknesses, listen to this. Have you ever known people who were quick to discuss their heavenly visions and use them as an opportunity to claim authority or superiority over others? Have you ever experienced that? Let me say it again. Have you ever known people who were quick to discuss their heavenly visions and use them as an opportunity to claim authority or superiority over others? Have you ever had that happen? Sometimes if you have that happen, a big red flag should pop up. Be a little wary of that individual. If you're ever there around someone and all they're doing is just right away saying, oh, I received this vision and I've done this and God's done this through me. And what they're trying to do is establish themselves as over you. They're trying to make themselves an authority over you or they're superior than you. I would say be wary of that individual. That might be a wolf in front of you. Seriously. I remember as a young man, there was this young minister, and he began to say all these things about himself, and he began to also criticize the pastor along with it. I was a baby, little lamb. I wasn't a sheep yet. I had barely started going to church, and there was this young man who thought he was all that, and he began to criticize the pastor along with all his boasting. And I was being lured into a place of destruction and didn't even know it. But God in his mercy opened my eyes and took me out of that bad way. Be careful when you're around an individual that is only boasting on themselves. And they're trying to establish themselves as your superior. Get out of that and run out of there like you've never run. That's a wolf. He wants to destroy you. Amen? Along with that, how can something like that impact the church? If there was ever a time, and thank God it's not happened here, in the time that I've been the pastor of this church, but if you ever have someone begin to want to criticize the pastor, and I'm not just trying to defend myself or say something, I'm just listen to what I'm saying. And somebody begins to say, oh, he or she, or, oh, he does this, and did you know? And they begin to try to establish themselves as over you, you be careful. It's a wolf. Amen? Amen. Be careful. If someone ever tries to put themselves as your authority or superiority over you by trying to boast of how God has used them, be careful. Amen? Amen. Listen to this. When is it appropriate to disclose your visions to others? When is it appropriate to tell someone maybe a vision or a revelation that you've had? Are there times that it's appropriate to share that? What do y'all think? Yeah, there are times when it's appropriate to share it. But it'll always be in the right spirit, won't it? It's always going to be for the benefit of the other individual. And it's never to point the finger at yourself to exalt yourself in someone's presence or something like that. It's always to turn the glory to Christ, always. Amen? Amen? So there are times to share things that God may have shown you. But there are times when it's inappropriate. There are some times that God will not allow you to share some of those things. I've had things happen in my life that no one knows about. Some of those things are on the shelves, things that I believe God has spoken to me. And I just leave it there. I don't go and tell everybody, God told me, God told me. No. I remember one time there was a young man, just listen to this real quick, and then we'll move forward in the lesson. And I heard him just boasting on all these things God had shown him, and he was in Antonito over there. And every one time he said, God has shown me, and God told me that in 3 months' time we're going to get this building, we're going to have a big church in that building, and God's going to do something here in Antonito. And I remember, it wasn't within those same 3 months that that guy was running out of Antonito with his tail between his legs. You don't need to boast. God will show himself true. Amen. Some people are over there saying things God said and God never said it. Amen. And so we need to be discerning as well. When people begin to try to establish themselves as superior to us, you be careful. Listen to me, if someone seems to be of greater influence and they seem to, you don't want to say anything because you think they're an authority, Christ alone is your authority. Amen. And anything that man or woman who claims to be of God says should be in a way that will glorify God and will be found in the Word of God. But if there is boasting, that's a big red flag. And be careful. Be careful. And Paul is in a way saying about those that are boasting all around those Corinthians, watch out for them. Amen? These are people whose intention is to destroy your faith, whether they realize it or not. And he's using himself as a word picture, as an example. I could be boasting and boasting. Let me even tell you of some of the things, and I speak as a fool. But Paul was actually more prone to boast on his weaknesses and not on the great revelations and major things that were accomplished through him. You all see that? The contrast. The man of God was not boasting. And when he boasted, he said, I'm speaking like a fool. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's close this out. Paul would ultimately lead selflessly. And that's the way a true man of God will be. They will lead selflessly. It's not about themselves. He said this in verses 11 through 15 of chapter 12. I have become a fool in boasting. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended by you, for I am in no way inferior to the leading apostles, though I am nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were performed among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For in what respect were you inferior to other churches, unless it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. In other words, he's saying, I didn't take offerings from you. I didn't want to be a burden to you. But if you're mad that I didn't take those offerings, well then forgive me this wrong. He's saying, I shouldn't have had to boast. You've made me do it. Instead of having to boast, I should be commended of you. But instead, he says, forgive me the wrong if I've done it. I'm ready to come to you this third time, and I will not be burdensome to you. I'm going to continue as I've been. For I do not seek what is yours but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. If I love you more, am I to be loved less? And so Paul is saying, I am a fool for your sake. Amen. I'm willing to be spent for you. My life is laid down for you. And he's showing them, and the way that I have been, I'm going to continue. I don't need to change what I've been doing. I've been true. I've been walking right before God. I'm not like these other boasters. You've caused me to do it. I should have been commended, but I'm going to continue to be as I've been. Amen? And then lastly, let's close with this. He was a model for godly leadership in verses 16 through 21. And we'll just close with these verses. It says this. It says, but be that as it may, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with deceit. Did I take advantage of you by any of those whom I sent to you? I urged Titus to go, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus take advantage of you? Did we not walk in the same spirit? Did we not walk in the same steps? Again, do you not think that we are defending ourselves to you? We speak before God in Christ. We do all things, beloved, for your edifying. Notice, he's a man of God. It's all about building them up. Amen? Even the people he sent to them didn't take advantage of them. For I fear when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish. I fear, therefore, there are debates, envyings, wrath, strife, backbiting, whispering, arrogance, and disorder. And I fear that when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall mourn for many who have sinned already, and who have not repented of their uncleanness, sexual immorality, and lasciviousness which they have committed. And so Paul's a little worried about some of them because of all that's been going on, but he will be a true man of God and do right when he's there. Amen? A man of God will still do right. It doesn't matter if the people misunderstand them or not. He's going to lead to Christ for their edifying, for their benefit, for their growth, for their betterment. Amen? Even if they aren't giving attention to him or anything like that, it's not about him getting attention. He wants God to receive all the attention anyways. Amen? And that's going to be the way a man of God is. And so Paul would rather boast in his weaknesses, and he would show that strength is actually found in weakness. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for our lesson today. We thank you that, Lord, Paul showed us the way that it is in the kingdom of God, even though it's contrary, it's different than the way of the world. That, Lord, you make us strong in our weakness. Help us never to despise the trial or the tribulation that we may be going through. And we pray that you would teach us in the midst of our struggles. Help us to praise you when we are in suffering, Lord. Lord, if it's like Paul with beatings or shipwrecks or in fastings or whatever it may be, I pray that, Lord, when we in this day, 2018, find ourselves in a place of suffering, that we will say hallelujah anyhow. Lord, be with us the remainder of our service. We pray that Jesus would be exalted. We thank you for it all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.